Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 in the New International Version tonight. Let's read the word of the Lord. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people. Whose people? The Lord's people who lived in Lydia. There he found a man named Ananias, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you." I want you to say that. Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat. Wonder where he got that from. I think Peter got that from Jesus right there. Immediately, Ananias got up. All those in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Who did they turn to? The Lord. Verse 36, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Everybody say Dorcas. I just like that name. Probably wouldn't be too popular in junior high. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him, urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken into the upstairs room, and all the windows... All the widows stood, there's no windows standing around in this. Making sure you guys are paying attention. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. Verse 40. Peter sent all them out of the room. And he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turned toward the dead woman and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then they called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known, read verse 42 with me. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Let's pray. Lift your voice. Pastor Karen, lead us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you so much for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. We lay hands on our hearts, even on our eyes today, and say, God, show us marvelous things from your word. Speak to our hearts today. Let your word go deep into our hearts, into our spirits. God, change us, rearrange us, and have your will and your way. Anoint Pastor Daniel with power to be able to communicate that which you're trying to say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus' name. Turn to somebody and say, I like the name Dorcas. Go ahead, say it. Just has a certain ring to it. I always wanted one of these. Anybody know what this is?
Check. Anybody know what this is?
Bullhorn, a megaphone. Oh, the people are coming in from the lobby now. We've got their attention. Anybody ever seen these used before? Megaphone. Charlie Kirk was like a megaphone. You can be like this.
Yeah, amen.
God wants to use us. Come on, lift your hand to heaven and say, God, use me. Charlie Kirk was a megaphone for Christ, and somebody said, "Will you preach on it on Sunday?" I sure did, and I'll preach on it until I stop feeling like I want to preach on it, until the Spirit of God lets me up from preaching on it. I'm not going to stop. I had people. I mean, I'm sure there's other martyrs, and of course there's other martyrs. Go read Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you don't have that book as a Christian, you should have it so that when you're going through a hard time, bust out Fox's Book of Martyrs and just read a couple chapters. You'll feel really good. You see, whatever you're going through does not remotely compare to what they're going through. Or in some cases, it might, but it's encouraging to know. Come on, consider it not strange to go through all kinds of fiery trials. There's fiery trials. His life is like a seed that was put into the ground, and we grieve for his daughter, his children, for his wife. But it stirred something in America, around America. And I just heard that Jimmy Kimmel lost his show. He got fired. Good. And, you know, we don't wish evil on anybody, but there has to come consequences for evil. And I'm grateful for that. Government's job is that we would live at peace, so that as we're living in peace, we would be the megaphone for God, that we would be used by God. And that's what you see in this text. That's what you see in this text. You see Paul, you see Peter powerfully used to turn whole towns. He turned whole towns, the power of turning cities around. You can turn around, we can turn around our nation. I got in a little bit of an argument yesterday as I was talking to somebody. I don't know, I just feel like learning the gift of the skill of debating. I want to go to campus. Oh, to be in high school again and know what I know right now. Kind of. In college. We went ahead and went to some of the university campuses, and we are finding entrance. We're going to invade. If you did not hear, which is what the gospel should do. Somebody said, how come we have to talk about Jesus? Because it's against my religion not to. You know, I don't know if you've ever gone to Israel or flown to the Middle East. Anybody ever flown to the Middle East on like a 20-hour flight or whatever it is? The Muslims have no problem at the time of prayer getting out of their seat and having their time of prayer in the aisle. And let me just, in the airport, wherever they are, they bust out their little mini, you know, little mini rug, their prayer rugs, and they start praying. It does not matter where they are. I was on one plane and somebody just started, you know, doing the whole thing. And so I thought, amen. So I got on my seat, shaka, ta da, ba ha, ha, bra, ba, 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 God, touched the plane. I figured, he's having prayer. Why can't I have a prayer time? I can have a prayer time. And I wasn't rude about it. You know, it was under my breath. I'm not trying to be a jerk. But at the same time, I was convicted that many Christians don't have a set prayer time. I was convicted that many people are not a megaphone. Many people just quietly serve God in a little closet. Everyone's come out of the closet. I think it's time for the church to come out of the closet. I'm trying. It is amazing to me that these whole towns turn to the Lord. A great harvest of souls takes place. We've seen an increase in our morning time of prayer, and I'd encourage you to come tomorrow. I do believe we'll break 120 tomorrow in morning prayer. I will be here Thursday morning, and staff will be here, many of the staff. Some of them are off, but many will be here just to pray. It's right out in the lobby. We've had a powerful time thus far. Thursday morning, 6:30, it opens. 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., we go corporate. And I'm just telling you, God's due. You say, well, I can't make it. Well, get it on your phone. We broadcast it all over. And I believe that God is using that prayer time to bring in the lost, to bring in the hurting, to bring in the broken. We had 250 more people in church on Sunday morning than we had through the summer. Now, it's true, people are back to school, and it's also true that there's a rise right now in church attendance. Fish are pretty much gone. There are people hunting, and we pray for them now. God bless all the hunters. Give them giant moose and harvest. Bring them back safely. May all the wheelers work and everything that has to come together work. Bring every one of them back, filling their freezers full of meat. Can I get an amen? We were texted, my husband sees a moose. We're like, Lord, come on, only in Alaska. Only in Alaska. My husband sees a moose. Pastor Karen says, oh, he sees a moose. So we're like, Lord, right now, let that thing come up.
Kill the moose, God. Let it be perfect size. Don't you love Alaska? I love Alaska. And all the vegans said, all right. So, let's look at this text. Peter, here he travels through the country ministering to the Lord's people. I spent some time with my son dialoguing. He's preaching here in the islands. He's leading the senior high ministry in the Hawaiian Islands at King's Maui. And we were dialoguing, and they're doing a look at those who were used in Hawaii to bring about this great awakening. And Hawaii had the largest church in the mid-1800s on the Big Island. The island of Hawaii had 5,000 people in a church in that time. It's the biggest church in the world. And there's a number of things that took place to bring that about. So they just have looked through some of these historical characters to draw a reference on what maybe they could put into their ministry, into the church, to see a great harvest of people coming to Jesus. It's about Jesus. Come on, somebody say it's about Jesus. It's about reaching the lost. It's about turning the lives of men and women around, turning them from sin and seeing them set free from bondage. God has come to set you free. God has come to heal you. He entered into time and space so that you could be delivered, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be healed. And that's what Peter did. He went about like a megaphone. He went about like a bullhorn. He went about like a giant billboard for Christ, declaring. That's what Charlie Kirk did. Got into the sewer. I mean, I've seen more Charlie Kirk reels. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I just thought, man, I watched him a little bit, but not that much. I'm going to watch some more. And he was intense. Constantly confronting the woke agenda. Yet he did it with love. He got irritated sometimes. Anybody else get irritated? Oh, you never got irritated? I might irritate you tonight. For righteousness, I pray. He goes about and visits the Lord's people. In Hawaii, there was a man by the name of Titus Cohen. Thank you, Pastor Karen. Titus Cohen was a missionary in the Hawaiian Islands. And they didn't have any computers. They didn't have TikTok. They didn't have Instagram. They didn't have any of that. Titus Cohen had a little black book. And he wrote every single name of every single person that he led to Christ in that book. He kept meticulous records of those who were baptized in water, those who weren't, in all the different districts all through the Big Island. He had this black book. And he would go and he would visit door to door, door to door, door to door, knocking and visiting. We do that. We go door to door. We have a campaign that's going to start here going door to door. It is my sincere hope that we're able to visit 5,000 plus homes in the next few weeks. Why would you do that? People want answers. And so what Peter's doing is he's not on an evangelistic campaign. Look what it says. He went to go visit the Lord's people. Those are people that are already saved. So they don't need anybody. Yeah, anybody need a visit sometimes? It's nice to get a visit. To get somebody to call you and ask you if you're okay and pray for you. Thank God for a caring, loving church, but that's what he does. So he travels ministering to the Lord's people, and that's what brought about that great caring outpouring on the Big Island, a personal church. We want to be a personal church. So he comes to this place, Lydia. There's a lame man, and the lame man's healed, been in bed for 8 years. That's a long time, 8 years. And Peter declares that Jesus is healing him. I mean, if you look at that text, come on, look with me. Look at verse. Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. So that's like coming up to somebody in a wheelchair. It's like coming up to somebody who's paralyzed, and he just makes a bold declaration, Jesus Christ is healing you. I want you to point at your neighbor and say, Jesus Christ is healing you. How many of you need healing right now? Come on, how many of you need healing? Come on, say, Jesus Christ is healing me right now. There's something about a bold decree. Recently, I was on Oahu at the Power Conference this number of weeks ago, and there was a lady who was there. She had neuropathy. She had been in the wheelchair for, I think, 8 to 10 months. I should follow up. We followed up a week later, but I'm going to follow up again. And when I saw her, there was a bold decree that I released. It just comes from a heart of faith. Come on, God can heal anybody. God can raise the dead, heal the sick, set the captive free. Shoot. When it's tax time, he can send you fishing and you can pull a coin out of a fish's mouth. He did it before. He can do it again. God is able to heal. He's able to restore. He's able to deliver. Somebody ought to say amen. So he releases this decree. It's so important. Sunday morning. Now, if you did not listen to Sunday morning, you're a part of this church. You're a part of this church. Go listen to Sunday morning's message if you're a part of this church. And if you're not, go listen to that message on Sunday morning and become part of this church if you don't have a home church. If you do, just leave that church and come. No, I'm kidding. If you go to a healthy church, keep going. If it's not, then you need to think about doing something. Let me say, well, I'm praying that it gets healthy. Well, until you get in the kitchen, honey, it's going to be hard to change the food. And I love the body of Christ. But sick, unhealthy, controlling. I can feel my wife praying for me right now. Some things should close. If a restaurant was constantly putting out botulism, do you think they should still serve food? What is it, the FDA? Who goes around and inspects restaurants, Pastor Kirsten? Oh, Pastor Alex, restaurant guy. We should have a church health department. And you just send the health guy into the church to make sure they're not killing people or preaching doctrines of demons, and then we could just close it. I don't know, it sounds a little bit like communism. Careful. This guy gets healed, 8 years. He declares Jesus Christ is healing you. He commands the man to get up. And it's exactly like that text with Jesus. He commands him to get up. He gives him a command. And he does. He's healed. And in Joppa, now what happens is those who were in Joppa heard that Peter's there. And when they heard that Peter's there, they send news. They're like, dude, get the apostle Peter over here. So they send news because Dorcas is dead. Tabitha, Dorcas is dead. So they ask Peter to come. And what does Peter do? Look at the text with me. Look, it's so profound. She's always doing good. It tells about what a woman of God she was. They send Peter at once. Verse 39, Peter went with them. When he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the windows stood, the widows, thanks, stood around him. All right. Peter sends him out of the room. That's a profound thing right there. Sometimes you have to remove people. Sometimes you have to have people that you just step away from. Very rarely have I seen... I've done a lot of deathbed conversions. What does that mean? That means I get called, would you like come and read them, you know, the last rites, or would you come and pray something over them, Pastor, they're going to die. I've done, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate. So 15, that's a fair amount. And as I go, they always get born again. I don't have... Now, some were in comas that I wasn't sure they responded, but then others were in comas and they said they can't hear you, and they're brain dead, and tears roll down their face as I pray the sinner's prayer. I lead them. I can tell they're praying in their heart or something. They start weeping. I've had people say they can't move. They're paralyzed. I've had them squeeze my hand. I've had people just totally get. You want to hear a great story? I know you do. I know you do. Anyone hear a great? Here's a good one. Samoan kid was playing football and he injured his neck and was basically paralyzed and in a coma. And they called the church, this is many, many years ago, called the church and said, there's this young man, paralyzed, coma, he's in ICU. Can you send one of the pastors to do it. Well, none of the pastors could do it. I wasn't a pastor. I was a life group leader. And so I get called by Pastor Daniel, I want you to go visit this kid. He really needs a miracle. I'm like, sweet. So I go to find out what's the story, and I find out he's paralyzed, and the family's weeping, and they're not expecting him to live. I know this is crazy, but it's what I did. I thought, he's going to get up. So I went and got my favorite Benny Hinn CD. I kid you not, this is what I did. Benny, there used to be a thing called CDs. Does anybody remember that? I remember 8-track tapes. So I went, okay. So I went and got this, my favorite Benny Hinn CD that I would listen to and get all anointed with. And I took a little box, a radio, and I brought it in with me. I came in, Bible under my arm, box in my hand with the Benny Hinn CD. And I went into ICU, and there I was. I said to the nurses, I'm going to close the door. Is that okay? These sliding doors. Anybody been to ICU? Family was there. I said, I'm going to close the door because I might be a little bit loud. Is that okay? He said, sir, you can't. I said, I'm not going to be long. I said, but I'm going to do it. And I just closed the door, and you know, they didn't kick me out. I was just like really bold and not so nice. So I closed the door, and I said to the family, I said, I'm going to pray, and God's going to do a miracle for your son. They're like, okay. I'm like, all right. I plugged in my little radio, and I found my little song, and I played that thing, and I played it. And finally, it was like God's power fell on me. Now, I would not suggest you copy this. That is what I did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then I stood up on, I don't know, there was something got at the end of the bed or whatever. I stood up on this couch thing, and I don't know what it is about standing up on stuff. I've had a number of miracles when I've stood on chairs, tables. I had a miracle standing on a chair in someone's house. I visited them. I was the new pastor in Kauai. I'm going to stay up here because you guys are paying attention. I was the new pastor in Kauai. And I came to the house and they said, oh, you're the new pastor. I said, yes, I'm the new pastor. Would you pray for our daughter? She's on crystal meth and we haven't seen her for years. The Spirit of God came on me. I said, I'm going to pray right now. I came in the house, didn't ask, totally rude, howly boy. I was in the islands. I started praying. I stood up on a chair, and what comes out of my mouth is this. She's going to call you within a week. She'll be home within a month, and God is saving her and transforming her life. That's what comes out of my mouth. And the second I said, I thought, oh, you better be right. For 7 days, I fasted and prayed and believed God. On day 6, the girl called, having not spoken to her family in 4 years. Within the next week, she was there. And in the church, got born again on Sunday, got baptized in the Holy Ghost on Wednesday, and went on to stay for a series of weeks and went on to marry a pastor. She's in ministry today. I'm telling you, God's able to do it. Now, back to the Benny Hinn thing. I stood up, music playing, power God. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of your coma and rise. And I'm like, I said, rise. In the name of Jesus, rise. Nothing happens. And I just went on for a little longer until it's like, he's not getting up, you know? So I prayed and led him in the sinner's prayer, and that's where I saw tears. I went home. I left. I said, well, God's doing a work. Amen. And they're like, amen. And I left like my little radio. Lord, what's going on? He didn't get up until 3 days later. He got up and recounted the entire story of what took place while he was in a coma. Heard the music, heard the prayer, the whole thing. He heard my voice. It was a football injury. He got miraculously healed. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. How many of you know what happened to that? That family turned around and started going to church. I'm telling you, miracles are like a megaphone. Your life, if you'll allow God to use you like Peter. He said, well, Peter was an apostle. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Same Jesus that lived on the inside of him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. We can turn this nation. Ah, feel the Holy Ghost now. We can turn this city. We can turn this state. You can turn your family around. Your life can be turned around. You are not beyond the reach of Almighty God. He's speaking to you through my voice right now. You can have a turnaround. You can be healed. You can be set free. And it's a declaration of the glory of God. It was so powerful that in both of these places, look at verse 42. It's the same sentence as verse 35, but in a different area. All those who lived in Lydia, verse 35, and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. What did they do? They turned to the Lord. Why? Because they saw him. They saw the guy that was in a coma and got up. They saw the person who was broken who got healed. Let your faith rise to another level. He said, well, how come everybody? Oh, stop it. Stop. Everybody gets healed that's born again. You might get healed when you get to heaven, but you contend for it here. In heaven, there's no. I pause just to feel the religious pushback. Everyone who goes to heaven gets healed. So I say, if you're born again, you're going to be healed. Now, if you're healed here in the earth or healed in heaven, I don't know, but we contend for it now. On earth as it isn't. On earth as it isn't. So you fight for it. You've got to fight for your destiny and your purpose. Pastor Wayne, stand. I remind you of the call of God upon your life. There is an assignment that wants you to be quiet. There's an assignment from the enemy that wants you to just ride off into the sunset. There is no sunset until he comes back. And I am anointing you afresh, and I command the assignment that would try to bring discouragement. Loose your hold from him. Loose your hold. This is a great pastor, and I affirm that in front of all of these people. Thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke. When you speak at that classics luncheon, right? When you speak, I'm going to release miracles. Go for it, says God. You're a modern day Peter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Not bad, huh? Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Karen Crandall is back there. She's going to Israel with her partner. And you came into this church, I believe, because your husband. Is that right? Let me tell you how that happened. And if you heard the story from her husband, it just seems to get bigger and louder and broader every time I heard it. Well, it was in a locker room. Why are you sharing these stories? Because Peter doesn't have anything on you. You can be used of God. You can be used of God.
You can be used.
I'm minding my own business, having had an extremely hot sauna with essential oils and lots of joy. And I see your husband step out with an apparatus that clearly showed that he had some health problems. And I was surprised he was in the gym. And I said, what? I saw him. I said, hey, what's going on? So he tells me. I said, I'm going to pray for you. He said, okay. So I went over and I laid hands on him. There he is in his towel. I went for it. Kind of awkward a little bit, but I felt the presence of God. The Lord touched him. He was so encouraged. He said, who are you? I said, oh, my name's Daniel. What are you? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, you come over here. You pray for me. Hey, he prayed for me. And he would just tell people. He was so loud about what happened. And the Lord, I believe, touched him. And I believe extended his life. He became my very dear friend who's in heaven right now. And for all the years later, I'd go to the gym, I'd go in the sauna, and he would be in there, or he'd be in the locker room, and he'd show up and say, with his towel, and he'd say, the greatest pastor in the world's right there. His name's Daniel. Pastor Daniel, go ahead, tell him. See you guys later. And he'd be like, oh, he probably did it 15, 20, I don't know, maybe 30 times. I'd go in the sauna, Pastor Daniel, everybody be talking about whatever. And he would just start saying, oh, but this is a great, have you guys met this guy? Have you guys, he's at church, the big one on the hill. He's the guy. He's the best pastor in the world. He really is the best pastor in the world. He's going to tell you about Jesus. And then he would walk out. He'd walk out. I'm like, dude, thanks for the introduction. But I would take it. I'd say, hey, man, God loves you. He's got a great plan. He would tell the story. That's what happened in these cities. That's what happened in Joppa. That's what happened in Lydia. They're like, dude, you know that guy? He was in bed for 8 years. He's walking, bro. Really, what happened? This guy, Pete, I don't know. He came from somewhere. He's like, this beard is wild. Prayed in the name of Jesus, I think. Yeah. They're like, whoa, what happened? Oh, this Jesus of Nazareth, he was crucified. He's the Messiah. Oh, the Messiah. And the whole town turns to Christ. Why doesn't that happen anymore? I think it can. I believe it's God's will. I know it's God's will. This word of God tells us it's his will. He prays. He speaks life. There's some keys here to releasing miracles. Prayer. The decree, a bold decree, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up. How rude. That's what I said to that lady in the wheelchair. I said, do you want to walk? She said, yes. I said, get up. And she looked at me and leaned forward. And I saw this doubt. I saw this faith. Doubt, faith, doubt. I said, get up in the name of Jesus. And she moved her leg, which she couldn't do. She moved her leg. She started to get up. And some of you have seen it. It's on Instagram. She started walking. What was the mechanism by which God released these cities, turned these cities around? What was the mechanism? It was signs and wonders. We're experiencing signs and wonders all over the place through the life of Charlie Kirk, martyred. People are bold. I have a passion and a boldness. I understand that, but I feel bolder. I usually don't want to get in arguments. But I was in that locker room the other day, and I thought, let's go. What do you got? Let's just destroy with logic and reason and the word of God. Would you do that? Would you, filled with the love of God, be willing to take on those who are filled with lies? Take it on. It's a friend of mine who's a Mormon, and he was telling me how the Mormon faith is the same as ours. It is not. They have added. There's all kinds of things that they believe that it's not what we believe. But most Mormons don't know that. I've learned a lot of Mormons. They're better Christians than Christians I know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. All they do is drink coffee. It would just set everything right. No, I'm kidding. That's a bad joke. But we need to declare the truth and demonstrate it. And so I've gotten into it with my Mormon friend, and I haven't been able to convince him otherwise. The Book of Mormon is not the Word of God. Hello? It's not the Word of God. All right. What was the mechanism by which these cities turned? It was the healing of these two people in two different cities, and people knew them. It was this network. If you're going to write something down, write this down. Peter was open to being used by God. Are you? Are you open to being used by God? There are moments for me and my walk with the Lord, Pastor Karen and I, and it's not because we're pastors. We were doing this long before we pastored anything. We just couldn't help but testify about how great he is, how he set us free, how he took away the pain, how he took away the fear, how he healed our broken hearts, how he set our feet upon the rock, how he gave us peace and joy like a fountain. We just couldn't help but tell people. Can't help but tell them. You hang out with a brother Rodney back there who listened to reel-to-reel recordings, apparently. You hang out with him for any length of time. It does not matter where you go, because he's going to stop and tell anybody at a table, at a gas station. He's going to say, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Jesus is my friend. He's just going to start where he can't help himself. Why? Because he's been set free. He's got this. He's not trying to get points. I didn't ask him, but last week or whatever, the fair, would you lead 58 people to Jesus at the fair? Is that about right? So he told me. So, I don't know, and I don't want to embarrass you, but would you lead 15 people to Jesus and it's Wednesday this week? Something crazy like that. Why is that? It's because he's not afraid. He doesn't have fear and he realizes God can use him. God can use him.
He can use him. Can use him like a megaphone. Have you heard about the love of Jesus?
I think it's time. It is high time that God's people rise out of apathy and lethargy and expect somebody else to do it. And the big evangelist, Tim Shuttlesworth, is going to do it. No, he isn't. He's going to come and do what he does, but he's going to inspire you so that you, come on, so that you can go and reach the community through prayer, through the decree. There's keys here of how to release miracles. Prayer, releasing a decree. The mechanism that turned these cities around was God found a Peter, released miracles, and the testimony of healing. Those that witnessed the healing. All right. How can we be a catalyst to turn our nation around? Let me just bring it home. Nations are made of families. How can you be used as a catalyst to turn your family? Absolutely, share your testimony and live a life consistent with it. Live a life of righteousness and holiness and purity. Understand that God needs you. Now that sounds odd, because God is infinite and he's almighty, and you say, well, he's not God if he needs me. But I don't mean need. It's like he's chosen to use you. He's chosen to use me. You think he'd use angels. Well, he does use angels, but to preach the gospel. In the book of Romans, turn to Romans if you want to. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they're sent? The Spirit sends people. 2 Corinthians 5:18. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, making us Christ ambassadors. Ambassadors go and build a bridge. They help wherever they go, representing the nation in which they come, in which they're sent from. You're sent from heaven. Supposed to be. I'm supposed to be. To be an ambassador to our community. Sin has distorted the picture of God in the world. So many people have a distorted picture of God. I literally got in an argument with a guy who started telling me the real problem in America is the economics. And that the economics are all confused, and started talking about crypto and cryptocurrency and how cryptocurrency is really like the savior of our world. Got news for you. Crypto ain't gonna save your sin-filled soul. Only Jesus, only the blood of Jesus. And the economy, I think, is a response to the blessing of God or the cursing of God. The blessings of God are contingent on obeying God, living for God. The nation who lives for God will be blessed. You see all the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. It's basically how to have a blessed nation. You do the blessings of, you live for the in the precepts of God, then the blessings are released, Deuteronomy 28. But the curses of Deuteronomy 28 come upon the nation who doesn't serve God. Leviticus talks about it. If they do the same thing that the nations of the Canaanites did, they do the same thing the Canaanites did, then the land will vomit out its inhabitants like it did the Canaanites. So do we think that America can just go ahead and do what it's doing? No, it can't. There's a turnaround, though. And it's a turnaround because of your testimony, because of mine. There's a turnaround. Somebody said, there's no hope for America. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. No, no, Islam's spreading twice as fast as any other religion. No, you're totally incorrect. You're totally incorrect. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is spreading like a fire across America, and there is a revival that's happening. There's an outpouring that's taking place, and it's not just America. It's the nations of the world. And that's happening by people that are sharing the good news. Sin doesn't just break relationship with God. It distorts the picture of God. I want to show you something. Go to Exodus 32. And can I have some Exodus 32 music? Thank you so much. Moses is up on the mountain. He's getting the Ten Commandments. He's delayed. It's taking longer than they would like. And it's the whole incident of the golden calf. So he fashions a calf, a bull deity. He fashions a calf. There it is on the screen. They handed him and he made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. No, I mean, you got to think for a second. Leave the scripture up. Like, what? Thank you, O bullhorn, who delivered me from sin. What? Like, how do you even come up with that? How do you come up with, they saw the Red Sea part. How do you in your mind think that a golden calf actually brought them out? Yeah, but they didn't really think that. Oh no, they did. Because go to verse 30, chapter 32 and verse 5. Look at this now. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow, there will be a festival to the Lord. It's written in Hebrew. And when you get to the festival of the Lord, now Lord is written a number of different ways in Hebrew. But when it's the tetragrammatron, when it's YHWH, which some people say means Yahweh or Jehovah, but the truth is no one really knows. You know why they don't really know? Because it was so holy, they didn't put vowels and they guess. So we don't know it's Jehovah, Yehovah, Yahweh. We don't know. But we do know where it says a festival to the Lord, it says YHWH. In other words, when they're looking at the golden calf, they see the golden calf as God Almighty. How can you be so stupid? No, really, think about it for a second. I mean, were they dumb? No, no, they weren't. Aaron was not an idiot. God's people were not stupid. There's varying degrees of intelligence, of course, but I was there. I was there when the Red Sea parted. I didn't see any calf, but okay. How do you come up with that? You want to know? It's Romans 1. What do you mean Romans 1? Understand, when they said we're going to have a festival tomorrow to the Lord, it's a festival tomorrow to the Lord God Almighty. It is not a festival to the calf. It's worship unto the Lord God Almighty as a calf. They had a distorted view of who God was. God invited them up on the mountain, but they wouldn't go because they're like, we heard the voice, dude. It was terrifying. You go. You go for us, Moses. Moses says, I'll raise up one prophet out of your people talking about Jesus, a prophetic word of the Messiah. You go and hear for us, and then we'll do whatever you tell us, because they're terrified of going up on the mountain. If you go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, would you put that up? Romans 1, verse 21. Thank you, Mr. Scripture Guy. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's what's happening in the woke culture. That's what's happening in America. That's why we need to speak up. That's why we need to lift our voice. That's why we need to have right doctrine and testify with signs and wonders and miracles and preach the truth and combat with the love of God, not violence. Spiritual violence, absolutely. It takes spiritual violence to get up in the morning, go to morning prayer. That's an act of violence. How many of you, see, some of you probably didn't get up for morning prayer, so you don't know. It's an act of violence to get up in the morning. It's an act of violence to put your flesh down. It's an act of violence to pray. We need to see God's power put on display. And that can be a putting down of your fallen human nature. It can be a putting down of your flesh. I mean, why aren't we more like a megaphone or a bullhorn or a... I think we can be intimidated. Why is Rodney and so many others win souls left and right, but other people don't? Well, some, they have the gift of the evangelist. That's a nice excuse. I think that it can be true. The gift of the evangelist is certainly real, operates on certain people more than others, but God can use you. I pray 100,000 Charlie Kirks launched all over the place. I believe he's going to do that here. But if you're intimidated, you got to ask yourself where your real identity is. I mean, who are you really living to please? If it's all about the likers and the pat on the back and the people that want that, you know, we all want to be liked. No one likes being hated. I don't know. I got set free years ago from that. I know Jesus loves me emphatically, and I love him. If Jesus loves me and my wife loves me, I'm good. Love you too. We need to love people enough to get past intimidation. There's something more important than your ego. There's something more important than being afraid or having your feelings hurt or being rejected. I think we don't share our faith many times because we're intimidated. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? You know, one of the things that drives me is I must stand before God. You know, you do a bunch of study on eschatology and the end. There's coming an end. And in the end, you'll stand before God. I'll stand before him. You'll stand before him. How are you going to do right then? How will that be? What will you say? All excuses fall short on that day. Every excuse falls short. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice for him. And if you're intimidated, just get your courage from God and move forward anyway. If you have fear, get filled with the love of God. Do some studies on how the reality of hell. I don't think Noel and Edna are here tonight, but Noel is a big proponent of that. What is that book in hell? 20 how many minutes? 23 minutes in hell. Remember when he first read it, he like grabbed me by my lapel. Have you read this book? I'm like, yeah. He said, oh, you need to read it again. I'm like, it's 23 minutes in hell. Hell is real. I mean, he was so gripped. 23 minutes in hell. Go read it. Go read it. Jesus talked about hell. Are we a hellfire church? Is there any other kind of real church? Because the world needs a savior. You need a savior. I need a savior. He's all powerful. You can't miss that from this text. So I want to pray for people to be healed tonight. And if I could have the worship team back on the platform, I didn't preach all that long. It's like 8:20, 8:19 right now. There's nothing on Netflix that you can't watch later. I'm going to pray. We didn't pray for people to be healed on the front side. I'm going to pray for people to be healed right now. And I believe that God's going to heal people. I believe God's going to set some people free. Why? Because this is what he does. It's who he is. Jesus came to set the world free. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10 and 10, the gospel in one verse. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and life to the full. Life, real life. The power of the enemy is in lie. We have personal limitations. The enemy wants to lie to you, get you over into fear. Peter made himself available. And as a result, these two cities, these two towns were turned. What could happen if you'd make yourself available?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.